Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hair Industry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big announcement. Presley Poe and Friends is back 2022, April 2nd, April 3rd in the state of Maryland. We have Presley coming in and her friends, her Jacob Kahn, Lisa Carello, Patty Plymire, also known as Queen of the South, Trevor Moots, Taylor Fade. So again, that's April 2nd and April 3rd. April 2nd, we're doing a happy hour with a demo from all of our artists. And then they're going to come and do a mix and mingle. So you'll be hanging out with all the artists that evening. April 3rd is an educational filled day. We have a la carte classes that are available. Jacob's doing a couple hands-on classes. Presley's going to do a Vivid's class. Patty is doing a hands-on braiding class. Lisa Carello is going to show you all that you need to know about textured hair, and Trevor Moots is doing his amazing barbering. All the information is available on PresleyPoeandFriends.com. Big shout out to our sponsors, of course, the Sharon and Charles Reiser, the Temple Paul Mitchell, which is in Frederick, Maryland, which is where we're going to be holding the event. Cosmoprof Beauty, once again, they stepped up so we could help support you guys. They stepped up for Shadow Presley Poe. We have the Handsome app. If you guys haven't downloaded the Handsome app, it's a must. They're going to be covering the weekend, and they have some incredible giveaways that are coming up that weekend. If you're going to be at the show, Handsome has shears that they're giving away. They have brushes they're giving away, blow dryers that they're giving away. They're giving a lot of stuff away that weekend. Big shout out to Hatoro Hanzo shears. They're one of our sponsors. They're going to be in collaboration with the Handsome app. They're going to be giving away some shears. And of course, our friends at Salon Scale, they always step up for the industry, and just big thank yous. And once again, thank you for stepping up for the industry. So again, April 2nd, April 3rd, PresleyPoeandFriends.com. All the information is there. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this live in-person event. Come back to school with us, y'all. Hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Corey. Of course, I sit with my boy Tony. What's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Well, we're not in the same room, but we sit together. We sit together in spirit all the time.
Yeah, that we do.
Yeah. So listen, man. We're having a conversation today that I think we've all had question about, right? I know certainly since the first of the year, there's been, some different changes and some different things to consider, since the first of the year. Again, we're bringing on our dear friend, Miss Michelle Cook, and for all transparency, she's our own CPA, both for Hairdustry and certainly my family CPA. So, now that that's out of the way, we can kind of get into the conversation. But, we've since the first of the year, and I don't want to put any words in Michelle's mouth because I want to hear it from her. But since the beginning of January 1st, some things have changed with some of the Cash Apps.
Yeah. And, I've always had questions in the back of my mind in the sense, do we do it? What kind of liability? I don't know. I don't have any clue. I just accept it because that's a easy way of maybe receiving a tip or receiving payment. So I have no clue on the tax laws on any of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I want to get into that. So, let's just jump right in. How's that sound, Tony?
Yeah.
Since we're not the experts here, let's bring on the expert. Yeah. So, Miss Michelle Cook, our friend, our lunch mate, and everything else. Welcome back to your day off.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So, Michelle, as our personal CPA, you've for the last year or so, like prior to 2022, you were like, Corey, stop with the Venmo app, stop using the Venmo app. So can we kind of get into that? And then I want to kind of move the conversation forward to like what changed on January 1st?
Yeah. So there's always been, it's been more of a legal issue with Venmo, because you can have a personal Venmo account and you can also have a business Venmo account.
But that's something new, though, right?
Say that again.
The business Venmo is somewhat new, right? Isn't that like over the last 6 months or something?
It might be over the last year or two. It is more recent, because it used to be that you could only do personal. And then that's at the point where it was like Venmo was a no-no because you're breaking the terms and conditions of the app. Then they came out and said, okay, we've actually got a business one now, so you can do that. But then of course you're paying merchant fees and people don't want to do that.
And so, merchant fees, that would be like similar to like a credit card fee?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Although I would say Venmo's merchant fees are a little bit less than credit cards, which is cool. So I guess before it was more of like a legal issue of breaking the terms of service with Venmo. For me, just as someone who looks not just at the financial side of things, but in terms of like scaling business, I haven't really loved all of these Cash Apps, Venmo, Zelle, Cash App, like whatever it is, simply because I believe in implementing systems in your business that will work when you have 10 clients and when you have 500 clients. Because when you put a system in place in your business and you get your clients used to it, it's fine when you have 10 clients, you know, it takes an extra minute, whatever. But when you have 500 clients, it's a different conversation. And so for me, that's been, I think, the thing that I haven't loved about Venmo is that it's not a point of sale system and people were using it like it was. And so what do I mean by that? Like when you have a regular system like Glass Genius, like Square, like Vigaro, the main ones that we see in this industry.
You forgot Schedulicity, Michelle.
Information.
You forgot Schedulicity, Michelle.
Oh, absolutely. How could I have forgotten Schedulicity? So, but what I mean by that is these systems are tracking who the customer is, what retail they've purchased from you, frequency of visit, sales tax collected, the services that they're utilizing. So there's all this other like data within a point of sales software. And a lot of people were just taking Venmo and then not putting it into a point of sale software, and they're losing all of that information, which is very important. So here we are today. and my general recommendation at this point is continue to use your point of sale software if you're going to be using these payment processors, but make sure that you put it in as a cash transaction so that you can still collect all of that data and you can get your, you know, payment through whatever app you're going to use. Of course, obviously, I would recommend the business versions. I want everything above board and legal. So that's the history. Mm-hmm. That's where we've been with Venmo.
And I remember when we talked personally that, you know, the problem with using Venmo, not using the business app, but with Venmo, is that then it becomes a real pain, you know, either for your accountant or for yourself to go like, okay, this was a business transaction and, oh, this was a personal transaction. And just the, you know, pain that can be. And, you know, to do that every 3 months when you're paying your quarterlies, or to do that at the end of the year, you know, you've just wasted a day.
Yeah, it's an absolute hassle. And I think, you know, as an accountant or someone who's doing a bookkeeping, Venmo's always kind of been a thorn in my side, because unlike Zelle, which will, you know, come through as just its own individual transaction, Venmo holds a balance within Venmo. So eventually I say, okay, cash that out. I get a $500 deposit in my bank account, but that's actually 20 different transactions of, you know, people who have paid me and I've paid them. So it's not very clean on the bookkeeping side when you have one transaction that comes in on the bank, and it's actually a bunch of different transactions in the background. So as an accountant, that's why I don't personally love it. Right. But,
and hold on, but so you're specifically talking about Venmo, but some of the other cash apps, they separate a little bit better.
Yeah. For example, Zelle, anytime there's a transaction, it just comes through your bank account as that one transaction. So the Zelle itself doesn't hold an account balance for you.
Got it. Got it. And like, cause Venmo is almost like a bank. It's almost like a weird, it's its own bank, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Now, again, I'm going to talk about personal conversations that we've had here, that just so I understand a little bit better. So you recommended to me that as I'm paying my lease, or as I'm paying my rent, that Zelle's the way to do it. Is that because it's a real clean transaction as opposed to Venmo?
In general, I just like Zelle more than Venmo. That's really a personal preference thing. In terms of tracking, it's a lot easier because Zelle transactions come through with the name of who you paid on them. Like a Venmo transaction comes through and it just says Venmo. So then you've got to like log into the Venmo account and pull a statement and try and like back into it. So it's just not as clean. And like I was saying before, I really encourage systems that are going to make your life simple and scalable. And so it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can do it that way, but now it's going to take a lot more time and be more frustrating.
Right. And I mean, and if time is money, then you're paying for that, you know, that frustration with time. Okay. So what's the big news that happened January 1st? We saw a couple people talking about it, but I'm still not clear onto what was going on or what's happened.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's just talk about 1099s in general.
Yeah,
kind of the big news is the 1099. So in general, if you pay someone by cash or check for services over $600, then you're supposed to issue them a 1099. That's the general rule. There are some exceptions, but there you go. Now, merchant processors, credit card processors, like, you know, also PayPal, Venmo, all these other apps, they have had different requirements for issuing 1099s. It's called the 1099K. And it was $20,000 of transactions and 200 transactions in a year. So the threshold that it took to get a 1099 from a merchant processor was a lot higher. And now it's much lower. And so I think that's what people are like, oh, wow, now I'm going to get a 1099. Okay, yeah. But if you were already claiming that income, literally zero difference in your life other than now you have an extra paper to give your accountant. But let's be real. We know there are people out there who were, you know, maybe taking payment through Venmo, not claiming on their tax return. And now they're upset because they have to, or they're going to get caught. Right.
So it's $600, to be clear. So it's $600 per app, right? So meaning like, so Zelle is going to give you one when you reach the $600 threshold, Venmo is going to give you one, or PayPal, or whatever. But here's where I'm a little like, just help me clear me out or help me out. So they're issuing you a $600. If $600 goes through the account, like I'm a little confused. Like if I'm paying Tony rent, let's say, and I pay him more than $600, then I issue him a 1099 because that's a transaction from my account to his account. Well, I mean, isn't Venmo just the middleman?
Well,
like,
okay.
Like even if I issued it through, if I issue Tony $600 through Venmo over the course of a year, then Venmo's just the middleman. So you kind of get what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. But here's the thing is that when you issue a 1099, notice how I said it's because you paid it by cash or check. But if you pay through a merchant processor, you don't have to issue the 1099. So now, like it used to be like when they weren't charging fees or whatever, that, okay, that's not like a real merchant processor, but now the liability of issuing the 1099 is on the app company and it's no longer on you. So it actually relieves you of a 1099 responsibility, which is kind of nice.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So say I collected you know, $20, $50, $100. But I just left it in there. And then it's over $600. When I went to go have a deposit and say it's $750 into my account, do you get issued the 1099 because it's over $600, the value, even though there are a bunch of different transactions? Or is it one transaction over $600?
So it has nothing to do with when you are depositing it into your bank account. It's just transactions that go through that app. And it's within a calendar year from January 1st to December 31st. If there are more than $600 of total transactions, it doesn't matter individual transactions, just in total, then you're going to get a 1099-K.
And, I'm so confused by this. Like, let's not talk about like a business to business transaction. Let's not talk about a business transaction. I mean, let's say like, I don't know, I pay my daughter for dinner, you know, for a year, which could, you know, easily be $600 or whatever that is, you know, for whatever. So are we being taxed on that money that we're just kind of handing over to like family members, or, you know, if Tony and I go out to dinner and we split the bill, are we being taxed on that money as well?
No, because personal transactions aren't taxable events. And I think that's the importance of why you have a business Venmo and a personal Venmo. Because when it's a personal transaction, there's no tax implications there. It's just when it's a business account. And I know there are people in the background that are like, okay, good. So that means I can just use a personal account and I can use it for my business. And then I'll, you know, circumvent all of this stuff. Obviously, I don't recommend that. But Venmo is cracking down on people that are using the personal accounts for business transactions. And it's not really that hard for them to look into it and see, you know, that, hey, this person has like a high volume of transactions. But, you know, normal people between friends and family don't have a high volume of transactions coming through. So they are cracking down more on that as well and forcing people into business accounts.
Is that because the IRS is cracking down on them?
I would think so. There's also, you know, there is risk when you are processing business payments. And that's why the merchant fees exist, is because they're there to protect you in terms of, you know, if you don't have bounced checks anymore, like, and the reason why is because we have these systems in place that are stopping things like that from happening. And that's really what the merchant fees are going to, is like, this payment's coming through. And, or, hey, this was illegal activity on my card, refund it, that kind of stuff. You know, you go to your credit card company and get that taken care of. Like, that's why we pay these merchant fees, is because we're getting all this added like insurance and protection on the back end.
Got it. All right. I'm getting past like the personal transactions and so, I mean, but it's still $600, right? I mean, listen, there's no doubt about it. I don't think there's probably a hairdresser alive that's working that if you're not taking like Venmo as for tips or something like that. And I know a lot of salons, you know, they're kind of going away with credit card tips. Like our friend Brian Nunes said, you know, his credit card fees alone were over $100,000, you know, 1 year between taxes and credit card fees. So a lot of companies are getting rid of, or a lot of salon companies are getting rid of tipping on credit cards. So, you know, obviously the easiest and the next thing it would be to use like Venmo or something like that. So anyways, I guess I'm just trying to process that, but as long as you're under $600 for the year, so you have about 5 apps that you can use to put $600 to stay.
$600 one transaction.
No. It's $600 over the year. So even if you get, you know, 10 $60 tips within that year, you're still going to get issued that 1099. It's not one transaction. It's an accumulative there. Michelle, what do you think about something like Tippy? Not that we're going to make this a Tippy commercial or anything, but what do you think about something like Tippy? That's kind of like that gray area between like a Venmo app and credit card fees.
Yeah, I think that is a little bit safer. Tipping in an employee-based salon is like the one thing that does cause me a little bit of heartburn with this new 1099 situation, because it is a going to show up as a business transaction. But the problem with that is that as the employee, you have to report your tips to your employer. The employer is supposed to pay payroll taxes on those tips. And they come through on your W-2. So now we have muddied the waters and employee-based salons when the stylists are getting their tips through Venmo because we're reporting them on the W-2. And then the stylists are also probably going to get a 1099-K. So now that is not my favorite outcome. You know, as an accountant, yeah, I have workarounds for it, but I don't like it. I'll just say that.
Wow. I didn't realize that. So they're supposed to, so even if you get a cash tip, you're supposed to report that to your W-2 and then to your employer, and then your employer is supposed to pay payroll tax on that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about something else? And if you're no expert in this, or if you don't understand it, then, you know, we can slide through it. But like, isn't there a rule where restaurants owners are not paying, they're not paying, is it the payroll tax on tips or something?
There's a FICA. FICA is the payroll taxes. There is a FICA tip tax credit that restaurants qualify for, but salons do not. And where the logic is, it's beyond me. But yeah, it is kind of frustrating that restaurant owners get this benefit where they don't have to, but salon owners do. I find it especially frustrating that salon owners don't get that benefit, because typically salon owners are paying more than minimum wage. Like, they're actually paying a proper wage. In the restaurant industry, generally servers are making less than minimum wage, and then their tips pop them over that point. And then obviously, like, if the tips aren't popping them over, then, you know, it's the restaurant owner's responsibility to true that up so everyone is making minimum wage. But it's just interesting to me that in an industry like the beauty industry, where the wages are already above minimum wage, that they're also not getting that break because they're already taking care of their employees more. Like, they're not relying on the customers to take care of their employees. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. And I mean, just a big shout out to PBA, because I know that PBA, they've been lobbying, I don't know, for 15 years or something, trying to get the exception, you know, for, is that the right word? The exception for the beauty business. You know, I know that ever since the restaurant thing, they've been on it, you know, and they were hopeful that during COVID that they could kind of like push that through, you know, slide that through on a bill, the way these things work. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'll just recommend everybody out there, you know, support PBA in this mission for this. And, you know, to go back, you know, our friend Brian, you know, between his taxes, his FICA that he was paying and his credit card fees, you know, in his own salon, it was over, you know, $100,000 worth of fees for him. And, you know, that's a lot of money for a business to have to eat. And again, he's paying that, or if you work in a W-2 salon, your salon owner is eating that without, and I don't know of any salons that aren't paying you your $10 tip when you get one. You know, they're not taking that FICA out from you. So, you know, you go give them a hug, because it's costing them a bunch of money, man, to be able to accept tips.
Yeah. I mean, technically speaking, if there is that $10 tip, like, payroll taxes are paid equally by the employee and the employer. So
right. The
employees are paying their portion of the payroll taxes, but the employers are also. It's just the frustrating part about the paying FICA on the tips is that you have zero control as the owner as to what your employees are receiving in tips, because it's completely up to the customer as to what they pay. So that's kind of this thing is like, okay, you've got this tax liability with zero control over how much it's going to be, and also zero benefit to you as the employer. So that's like the tricky piece of it. And then add on that credit card processing fees that they pay if the tip is coming through the credit card. I get it. It's not great. But I mean, to all of that, I would say that's the reality of what's going on in the industry right now. I don't like it, for sure. Should we lobby to fix it? Absolutely. But we also just have to deal with like what the reality is. And that means like, you've got to get your pricing right, because you know that that's an expense that's coming. So make sure that you've got your margins in place so that you're not up a creek.
Right. And also make sure that you have, certainly if you're a business owner, or if you're a, so I'm requalifying suite owner. If you're a suite owner, if you're a business owner or whatever, you know, make sure that you you have your QuickBooks and your and all your tax or your bookkeeping software up to date. I know that it's helped us tremendously as far as, I mean, just as easy as like taking pictures of receipts and not forgetting about them, right? Like, it's been such a great thing. And Michelle, can you talk about, I know that you have the QuickBooks, well, help us out. Is it a class or what is it? You have a, like a QuickBook advice kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have a course specifically for beauty professionals called Beauty Bookkeeping. As much as I would love to help every single beauty professional out there, where, you know, we only have so many hours in the day, and I wanted to create a resource where anyone in their career, whether they're first starting out and just have a few clients, or whether they're more experienced and just want to get a better handle on their numbers, would have a place where they could affordably get education on how to work QuickBooks, but then not just that, but like actually then using the numbers to mean something. Like, okay, now I know what my profit is. So how do I pay myself? How do I know how much to save in taxes? You know, are my numbers in line with what industry standards are? Those kind of, you know, basic financial questions that, you know, I think most people just live in wonder from day to day and aren't really sure. So that's what Beauty Bookkeeping is teaching you QuickBooks so that you can pay yourself consistently and never be surprised by a tax bill again.
That's awesome. And how can one find your course?
So check me out on Instagram at Small Business CPA. I've got a link in my, link tree over there, and be perfect. Happy to answer any questions in the DMs.
Awesome. Michelle, you're amazing, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I can speak on behalf of Hairdustry and my family. She's been amazing. She's really helped us a lot. So anybody listening, if you guys have any questions or need help, she is the man.
She is the woo man. The woman.
She is the woman.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Michelle, thank you, dude. Thank you. And, you know, also thank you for getting up, you know, so early in the morning. I know we're a few time zones away, so we appreciate that as well. Thank you. And yeah, just thanks for always being available to our listeners and any kind of questions. You know, certainly when we release this, if you have questions, you can either DM us and, you know, we'll consult Michelle, or you can just DM Michelle, straight away. What is it again, Michelle? What's your Instagram?
At Small Business CPA.
At Small Business CPA. Michelle Cook, thank you very much. Thanks for hanging out with us, and thank you for joining us on your day off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdustry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.